Hello and welcome to the Unlikely Podcast. I'm Josh, and staring at across from me is my copay, my co-anchor, my coordinator, Sam. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well, Josh. I'm not willing to copay for anything, as I am not a member of any of your health insurance companies. You're gonna, whatever it is you're looking to pay for, I'm not going to be your co-signer or your cohabitant of a contract of any kind.
Well, that's unfortunate. I'm changing insurance companies. Have you gone, since you're a new employer, have you gone to the hospital or anything?
No, because I'm in perfect health.
Wonderful. Of course. Deep, neat bends
for,
every morning.
For any, lots of Iroquois twists. And lots of jumping jacks.
High knees.
Lots of high knees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some push-ups. Two sit-ups, and then off I go. Got to work on the core.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in case anyone's vetting me, my health is in perfect condition. Do not worry about my heart.
Well, since we are going to be... we're not going to be here next week. Well, we won't be podcasting next week, and that's when the convention is. Mm-hmm. We decided we're going to do a convention preview, predictions, prognostications episode. And so I think what we should start with is the unfortunately titled Veep Stakes.
Mm-hmm.
I get why it works as a word, Veep Stakes. But I feel like... we should come up with a better word because everybody uses it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's lost its cleverness.
Right.
Long time ago.
Right. The Veep Stakes is, what would we call it? The Veeptacular. The Veep Tournament. The
Veep. You know, it's got to be something like March Madness where it's alliterated.
The Veep Madness.
No, it's the Veep.
The Veepness.
Victor or the Veep. Venzies. I don't know.
The Veep to end them all until next year. The Veep Bowl. There you go. The Veep Bowl.
The Veep Bowl. Good.
Bum, 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 bum.
So let's start with the Republicans because their convention comes up sooner.
First, let's start with the national anthem. Oh, say, can you see? Any good championship begins with the national anthem. Okay. And the home of the brave.
So... basically, Donald Trump, if he is the nominee...
which I guess is another question we can come to.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a chance it is. I think there was a court case. I don't think there was a court case. I know there was a court case.
I believe there was an alien abduction, but I'm pretty sure there was a court case.
In Virginia, stating that the delegates do not have to be bound to the people that the people voted for.
Wow.
So they can be totally unbound, and they can follow their conscience. So that was just decided yesterday, it must have been yesterday, in Virginia. So I know they're changing things on the Rules Committee to make that available. It's all, you know, how committees work. There's bureaucrats.
And mm-hmm.
There's
bureaucrats everywhere.
So I don't know the case. I don't know if they're really going to put up a stink. I'd like to see something happen just to say we're not happy with this guy.
Right.
But I think the overall attitude at this point is resignation.
Right.
He's going to lose, and 538, the Nate Silver polling blog, has Hillary's chance of winning something at 78%.
Yeah.
And...
Trump is like...
even with you include the Green Party and the Libertarian Party with the polling, it goes down to Hillary chances of winning at 72%.
Right.
So at this point, we're not expecting anything out of the GOP convention.
Yeah.
Because unless you're really deceived, you know Trump's going to lose.
Right.
And so I think that's why a lot of the Republicans are acting the way they are. They're not going to the convention because they don't want to associate themselves with Trump,
mm-hmm.
who they know is going to lose in November.
Right.
But that also brings up my guy Ted Cruz.
Yes.
And maybe you need to tell me why he should not be going.
Tell me why.
Because he's now giving a speech.
Yeah, he's
at the convention.
Oh, I've heard. good old Lion Ted, is giving the speech at the convention, and I'm giving him that nickname because what Donald Trump already gave him the nickname.
Right.
And
but then he said nice things after he got out.
Yes. And
it's a total passive-aggressive type of compliment, I think.
Right. And Ted has already said that Donald Trump was a deceitful narcissist who would declare war on Denmark.
Right. And it was that last day in Indiana before Ted lost.
He just went off on
him. He finally told the truth.
Terrible things about Donald Trump. And then now he's like, I'm perfectly fine with speaking at the convention with this after meeting with the great man. Like, yes, I will speak at your convention. Why would I not? You're such a great guy. Never mind, I made a huge case about how there's no way you should be the leader of the free world.
Right, right. And I agree with that entirely. Here's the cunning of Ted Cruz. And never forget, he is the modern-day Richard Nixon.
Right, which means he taped the conversation.
Right. Everything he does has a political future connection to it. Mm-hmm. He's always thinking 3 weeks ahead or four years ahead.
Well, if that was the case, he totally blew the whole primary because he should have been thinking ahead.
Well, he's the one with the greatest ground game that everybody said that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But here's why. And I don't know what happened in the meeting, whether things were promised in an eventual Trump administration that's never going to happen. But Ted Cruz is a very smart guy. Nobody says he's not smart.
No, he's just unlikable.
There's a lot of negative things you could say about him, but you can't say he's not smart. He is.
Right.
So, him being the Richard Nixon of the modern era, he knows more than anybody, because he's deep into the weeds of polling, of district by district. That's why he had such a great ground game, because he's that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
He knows down deep and up front that Donald Trump's going to lose. So, what do you do to play the long game? What do you do to stay in the picture? You just ran, and you lost to Donald Trump. You mm-hmm. lost. What do you do to make sure you're not the next Rick Santorum? What do you do to make sure you're not the next John Edwards or Mike Huckabee?
Well, I'll tell you what you do to not be the next John Edwards. You stay faithful to your wife who's suffering from cancer.
Maybe that was a bad example. You stay in the limelight. You make a principled, powerful message, the highlight of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
You set people's pants on fire.
Not literally.
But you play the part of Reagan in 1974 at Gerald Ford's convention, where people really didn't like Jerry Ford, but he had the establishment behind him. Jerry Ford comes up and says, "Hey, Ronald, why don't you come down and give us a speech?"
Right.
He comes down, lights the convention on fire. Everybody says, "We wish we could have elected this guy."
Right.
Gerald Ford loses to a weak Jimmy Carter candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronald Reagan, 4 years later, plays the long game. And he wins in 1980. So that's my defense of Ted Cruz. He's playing the long game. Now, the question of his integrity, I agree. It's entirely disingenuous.
He's completely bankrupt.
Absolutely. I'm not defending him at all in that sense. But that's all of politics. Right. That's what it is.
Yep.
And that's why he's Richard Nixon. He's not Ronald Reagan. He's Richard Nixon.
Right. To Ted be the glory. Because he has been whatever he has to be in every situation. He's tried to pretend to be a guy, a principal, and really he is just a master politician that fell short against Donald Trump.
Right.
And now he's waiting. I think you're probably right. He is playing the long game. But I think he's playing the wrong long game, because he's going to be on the wrong side of history when it comes to, did you support Trump or did you not?
Well, he's not going to support Trump.
You're speaking at the convention. You are supporting Trump.
No, it's just like
I'm sorry. If you show up to the party, you are supporting the birthday boy. You don't show up to the party.
I think we're going to have to disagree on this, because I have a pretty good case that Reagan didn't really support Ford wholeheartedly.
Well, that was a different situation altogether, if we'd like to go blow by blow, of the fact that they were actually determining the nominee.
Right.
That's why Reagan was there.
Yeah, that's true. But they had just gone through a difficult primary themselves, where Reagan was kind of running, kind of not running, but then he got in late and then really wanted to win, and then feelings were hurt because Reagan said ahead of time he wasn't going to run, and then a lot of people said, we really don't like Ford, please run. Right. And so then he finally says, okay, I'm in, and then he loses, but he really, really wanted to win at the convention.
Right.
So there was hurt feelings, there was stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, but at least from what I'm saying.
It's kind of like what, what Obama did, President Obama did 4 years before he actually ran.
Right.
In 2004, his speech put himself on the map.
Right.
Now, everybody knows who Ted Cruz is. Ted Cruz, now more than ever.
Yeah. It's very true.
I want to get that t-shirt.
Though I do enjoy the fact that Donald Trump's calling himself the Law and Order candidate.
Right.
Which is very Nixonian.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if anything, he's more of a Eisenhower type of Republican, where he's a military first, strong, socially liberal.
Yeah.
That type of guy.
Yeah, whereas with Ted, he's whatever he needs to be.
I don't think so. Anyway, let's move on.
But no, but he's basically the Bernie Sanders of the Republican Party. Saying, this guy's terrible, and then coming right back around, short of an endorsement, saying, oh, it's a great person.
It's a little different, because Bernie's not going to run again.
No, but...
Yes, I'm not saying he's got integrity, I'm not.
No.
I agree. And I'm saying he's staying on the front page.
Right.
He's going to take his shot at making a big splash and saying, hey, everybody, wish you could have voted for me?
Right.
And then he's going to leave... And then Trump's going to fall on his face in November.
Yeah.
And then the obvious question is, who do we want to run next time?
Right.
You know, we had that great speaker in Cleveland. What was his name?
LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He lit my pants on fire.
Yeah. Speaking of pants on fire, presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Just wanted to mention once again how big of a liar she is.
I hate mosquitoes.
I hate them. That's true. He's not going. Donald Trump's not going to pick a mosquito for vice president. So hates him.
Let's talk about the three candidates. And I do want to talk about the third candidate, even though there's a story out today that says there's only two. And I want to start with him because I just want to mention him, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. I've seen him speak. I really don't have a lot to go on, but. His manner of speaking, his clarity, his military type of background really made an impression on me.
Hmm.
And I thought it would be a great contrast with a businessman who shoots off his mouth with a military guy that knows the capability of the military and is more reserved and knows what he's talking about.
Right.
But today, or a couple days ago, when was this Washington Post came out.
I think it was like 2 days ago. Trump was saying, I'm not going to go military. Probably political. Never mind, every move you make is a political move.
I do like the military, but I do very much like the political.
Oh, he never completes a sentence.
No.
I do like the adjective.
And the reason he doesn't want to go military...
I'm glad he doesn't go military. People would get hurt.
I have such great respect for the general.
Such
But great. Believe it or not, that will be one of my strong suits. I was against the war in Iraq from the start.
I have a suit. It is camouflage. It's one of my strongest suits.
But let me make the case for Lieutenant General Flynn.
Mm-hmm. Why is he in like Flynn?
Everybody knows Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. Doesn't know what he's talks about. Everybody knows he really doesn't know anything about the military. He has a theory about it. He has a philosophy of less intervention, but he really doesn't know the nuts and bolts.
Right.
If he picks this Lieutenant General Flynn, it gives us, the public, who knows Donald Trump's a buffoon, credibility to at least say, okay, this guy that's the vice president... He actually knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to command troops. He knows what our capabilities are and what we can't do.
Right.
And that lends itself to Trump's message of, we're going to make America great again. We're going to be strong. We're going to have so much winning.
Right.
How do you win militarily? We'll
pick all the best people.
Yeah. How do you win militarily when you've built buildings for a living? You don't know a thing about the military.
Right.
You carry a gun, sure, but that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't make you a sharpshooter.
Just because you were against a war 15 years ago, which you weren't, by the way, but now you say you are, doesn't make you Sun Tzu and you've written The Art of
the War. The Art of War. No, he wrote The Art of the Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote Art
of the Deal. He didn't write Art of the War.
It really would solidify his standing as, this is what I want to do. This is my main thing. I'm not going to talk about social issues. I'm going to talk about making America great again. We're going to be strong again. We're going to be safe again. Who better than having a general that was in the military be your vice president?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first guy.
I think he would be a good pick, but I think because he's a good pick, Trump's not going to pick him.
Well, that goes back to the other idea. He doesn't want people that rival him or best him intellectually.
Right. And I don't think he wants somebody...
Yes man, right?
Yeah, and somebody especially, I think, a military choice is going to cause more of a buzz, and he doesn't want the buzz about his VP.
Right.
He wants it about him.
So the other guy is... let's talk about Mike Pence, second.
Isn't he the governor of Indiana?
He is the governor of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a benefit to Trump because he's actually a governor that's actually gotten things done.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just an anti-establishment guy that wants to blow up the boxes.
Right.
But he's actually got things done. He's popular in his state. He can maybe swing bordering states. Wisconsin, it's not bordering. I know. But Ohio's right next door.
Right.
But the problem is, have you seen Mike Pence?
I've not seen Mike Pence.
This would be the only two-man orange group
really?
That we've ever run as president and vice president.
Oh, no. So he's got a pretty bad
orange
tan?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They're both orange.
Well, the sun shines pretty bright in Indiana.
I don't know if Syracuse named their mascot after Donald Trump as an orange man, but he fits the bill.
That Hoosier's mighty orange. But I do think I think Mike Pence, at least if I had to pick the person who he is going to pick, will be Mike Pence, because I think he is the safer pick, and I think he's the less flashier pick, so that Trump can remain the story.
Yes, and that would bring us to wild card pick. Well, it's not wild card pick.
Well,
pick number three, my favorite, hopefully.
Plug up that bridge! Plug it up!
No, not that guy.
Oh, okay.
Newt Gingrich.
Oh, my word.
My guy. And here's what it is.
Mr. Rivaling Only Bill O'Reilly with Weird Books Nobody Needs to Read author.
Here's what it is, and I figured it out.
Champion of marriage, Newt Gingrich.
I figured out why I'm so loyal to Newt. And I'm not going to defend his personal life at all. He's had three wives, and he's had three religions. I understand all that.
He's knocked them all out of the park. Three for three.
And that's the perfect analogy. It's like I grew up as an A's fan, and I've always liked Mark McGwire.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting home runs, 49 home runs in his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he goes to the Cardinals, I still like him because
he
started with the A's. It then comes along that he may have been using steroids, Jose Canseco says. And then it comes along, he admits that he had been using steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I then say I don't like Mark McGwire anymore? No, I still like him because I grew up appreciating what he did.
Right.
I grew up liking Newt Gingrich.
Right.
I still have my copy of To Renew America.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 1994 as Contract with America.
By the way, the library is still waiting to get that back.
I grew up admiring and looking up to Newt. Now, has he had some indiscretions? Sure.
Yep.
Did he have to resign his speakership because of ethics rules? Yes.
Yeah. But
sure.
But you could also argue that was a bit of a setup with the whole them miking his...
I understand that. But I'm just trying to say that, I grew up in he had such great success in 94. Mm-hmm. There was a Republican Revolution.
Right.
And that's why it's like he's the political Mark McGwire to me.
Yeah, he's your nostalgic pick.
I can't defend his steroid use. Right. And I'm not going to defend his steroid use.
Yeah, because both Mark McGwire and Newt Gingrich have had significant bodily changes over the years. Both McGwire and Newt, inhuman-like growth that cannot be explained.
So I'm not going to defend Newt's indiscretions or three wives and three religions.
Or his eating habits.
I can't. Or his eating habits, and I can't. But I will tell you this, and here's the pros.
Okay.
He is the smartest politician that you can have as VP. He has run nationwide campaigns already. He's run for president, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's still, to this day, a top advisor to the House members of Congress for the Republicans. Speakers of the Houses currently will talk to Newt every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they meet with Newt at the end of the year, talk about what they're going to do the next year. That's how in tune he is with nationwide politics. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a smarter guy.
Right.
He is a great debater.
Yes.
He'll take little things that he can turn on people and make great statements about.
Mm-hmm. And he is never, unlike Donald Trump, he is never, I think, thrown off his game.
No.
He always keeps his composure.
Right. He's never going to say something out of bounds.
And he says stuff that is very brilliant, and I think John King is still crying off that debate where he said, I can't believe that you would start off a presidential primary with asking such a personal question.
Right. And it was a question that everybody, you know, was talking about, but
right.
He had turned it in such a way. So that's why, you know, and here's my last point on Newt, mm-hmm. is everybody knows Trump's going to lose, okay?
Right.
So it doesn't really matter who he picks.
Right.
But I want one last shot.
Okay, I see.
It's the Bernie Sanders situation. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Bernie Sanders got to do what he did before he died. Because he lived out his dream of running a national campaign. He will soon die.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let
the Unlikely Podcast be the first place that are predicting the imminent death
of Bernie Sanders. He lived his dream out. I mean, good for him.
You're listening to the beginning of, it's basically an audio obituary.
So,
it's been good.
I want Newt to live out this final dream.
That one big American victory lap.
And he can have
state to state
great highlights of him doing speeches and packed out halls.
Standing on hay bales.
Going to different places.
Eating all that fry food.
He can have one national vice presidential debate against whoever Hillary picks.
And he'll have a great time.
Come on. But the sad thing was that I saw over the weekend that he is actively lobbying to be the VP, which means he doesn't have the position, he doesn't have the pick wrapped up.
Right.
So I think he's not going to be it.
Do you want me to say why I think he would be a poor choice?
Sure.
I think,
and I'm not going to defend him. Remember, right. Steroids.
Right. No, but I think the polar side of your stance is there are plenty of people like you on the other end who have known Newt Gingrich for years and cannot stand him.
I know. Oh, yeah.
As polarizing as Donald Trump is,
right.
Newt Gingrich is just like, oh!
Well, it doubles down.
For a lot of people. It doubles down on the unlikable, arrogant white guys.
Right, and with the guys like, in third marriages.
It feels like it's the ultimate angry wrestling tag team. Like, that is the team you would put together if they were a professional wrestling tag team. Two arrogant, rich white guys. We know how to get it done. Remember the good old days?
Somebody said in the
1994.
In the comment section, it's going to be the adultery ticket if he picks Newt.
Right.
Fatter and fatter. Fatterer.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I think it would be a bad poor choice just because he is so polarizing.
I understand that, but my counter, and I understand.
And incredibly arrogant.
I understand that. I like Newt from 1994. That's why I want him on this ticket.
Well, I'm not go getting that nude.
Right, right. I'm saying this is a lost cause.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's make a wish come true. It'd give Newt this opportunity.
I feel like...
He's not going to get another chance at this.
You know, now that I think about it, Donald Trump might be dying, because I feel like this is one big make-a-wish for him, because right. Who are we kidding?
Nobody. Nobody's kidding.
Leader of the free world.
So, let's... we got a little bit of time left.
Though, yes. Yeah, so, my prediction for it will pick is Mike yes. Pence. Who do I think he should pick? Gary Busey.
Who I think he will pick? Mike Pence. Who I think he should pick? Ivanka Trump. He should actually pick his daughter. She's quite brilliant.
She's
very smart.
That'd be smart.
He runs his business like that, too.
Yeah.
Might as well do the VP ticket.
Yeah.
But really, down deep, if it's up to me, it's Newt Gingrich. It's Newt. And I feel like I've shown you why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Though I think, are we even going to discuss the former...
New Jersey governor? No. I think it's just politeness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like what... who ran last time? Mormon? Yeah, Mitt. Mitt did the same thing. He did, let's check out this background.
Right.
But when he had...
He had, yeah.
No interest in...
He probably had coffee with Mike Huckabee. That's probably...
No, he can't do caffeine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't Mormons anti-caffeine?
Right. It probably had a nice glass of warm milk.
Lemon water.
This is some good soy milk.
Just to be fair, let's quickly cover the Hillary VP choice.
Oh, by the way, one more. My selections for Trump's Surgeon General would be Meatloaf, because nobody knows about poor health than the former Apprentice star and also current heart attack sufferer Meatloaf. And Secretary of State would be Dennis Rodman, because no one has better...
He has the foreign policy experience.
Who has a better relationship with North Korea than Dennis Rodman?
Nobody. Nobody does. So let's move quickly to the Hillary VP selection. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are talking about Elizabeth Warren, but really I don't think that helps out Hillary that much. You have two ladies running. And, you know, if...
Are you lacking... usually, women are really good at running. I don't understand. It's not an upper body strength thing.
I'm just saying it's two Northeastern liberal ladies.
What are you gaining?
What kind of balance is it? It's just like a Hillary clone, but connects more...
But more personality.
Yeah, more personality. She has less to lose.
Yeah.
So I don't think it should be Elizabeth Warren. I really like the idea of Sherrod Brown. He's the senator from Ohio, and that's the swing state. You know, if Trump didn't burn his bridge with
Kasich
would be the automatic choice of a governor of Ohio, but, you know, it's a lost cause at this point. But I think Sherrod Brown is kind of like the more established Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah.
He's a great speaker. He's not as young as Jonathan Edwards, but he's got... he's got a little bit more charisma than Hillary.
He's a safer pick, not as polarizing, so he's not as well known, so that he doesn't have a whole lot of negatives.
Cory Booker. No, no, no. And here's why. He is all flash and no work. The behind-the-scenes information is he likes to be out in front, but he doesn't like to do the work.
The only thing I... reason I know about Cory Booker is that he's always on TV.
Yes.
He is always making speeches.
Yes.
He's always campaigning for something. The one thing I can say about Cory Booker is, I hear you, Cory Booker. You don't need a microphone. Yet he doesn't stop yelling. I've heard you, Cory.
I hear you, Cory, and I would like to stop hearing you.
I heard you. Now, the only downside, again, for...
Sherrod Brown?
Sherrod Brown. Have you seen Sherrod Brown?
I have seen Sherrod Brown.
He'd be a great accountant. I don't know if he'd be a good vice president.
All he needs to do is carry the state of Ohio.
He needs to fix that hair.
And this is what carries the state of Ohio.
That looks like
It's a man named Sherrod. If people don't know this, it's a man.
Yeah, it's a man named Sherrod. Oh, Sherrod. His parents didn't do him any favors. Sherrod Brown. That sounds like a sentence.
Yeah. And
what should we color it? Sherrod Brown.
There's also talk of
Tom Perez.
Julio, no, that guy's not.
No, the Secretary of Labor. He's well liked in the liberal community.
No. Who's the crazy? I said
Paul Begala.
He's a current secretary of some branch of the executive branch, and he has that crazy hair.
Julian Castro?
No. I forget which.
Because if anyone remembers what Julian Castro looks like, he has a twin brother.
No, let me.
Because if you remember Julian Castro.
Yeah. And he is always shiny. Yes. He is always. Not to pull a Trump, but he is always sweaty.
No, like, him and his brother have these great smiles. So Julian Castro, for most photogenic.
Transportation.
I think. And then Xavier Becerra?
Oh, that's not the guy.
Whereas Xavier Becerra is the highest-ranking Latino in Congress and would be a bold choice for Clinton, according to CNN.
Yeah, that's the problem with picking a congressman. They don't really have a lot to offer. Like, you represent a smaller district. And whereas if you pick a senator, he represents the whole state.
And zero name recognition.
Yeah. He does look good, though. Look at that picture.
He has a great head of hair.
He looks like a vice president.
He has a great head of hair. If I was making a TV show... That's my vice president.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants...
A stellar record on the Hill, according to CNN. I've done zero research on his record on the Hill.
Wants to go after Trump's base, which she doesn't need to, because she's going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. She could pick Tim Kaine.
I'm sorry. I've actually seen Tim Kaine talk, and he nearly made me fall asleep watching Meet the Press.
Yes.
It's not that early in the morning... Watching Meet the Press about 8 o'clock in the morning. But Tim Kaine, he described himself as boring in that interview.
He is a boring guy. He's
now he's likable.
He used to be in the military, right? Am I getting him confused with somebody else?
He's been a governor, he's been a mayor and a senator.
He's more of a centrist.
And he is more of a centrist.
Like Democrats used to be. He's somewhat pro-life?
Yes. Yes, by that, I believe they mean he's opposed to late-term abortions. Yeah.
Tom Vilsack? No chance. Just look at his picture. You can't look at his picture on the podcast, but Google it. He is not your presidential candidate.
No. He's the guy that, if you want a picture of some... he's like your scapegoat. If you need to blame something on someone, blame it on Tom Vilsack.
And then Amy Klobuchar, who...
Easy for you to say.
Is a...
Minnesota lawmaker.
Senator from Minnesota? I mean, can you really take those people serious if their other senator used to be on SNL?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. She's out.
We've already eliminated her.
We don't need... You don't add anything when you add the same thing to the ticket.
Right.
So... Who do you think it's going to be? Who do you think should be the VP? Do you want me to go first?
Please do, and I will laugh at you. Because I've done so much research on the Democrat VP choices that my research laughs whatever your opinion is to scorn. So please, give us now the will and the should for Hillary Clinton, vice presidential pick. That serves right, under the president.
Right now, I think she will pick Elizabeth Warren. I think it's going to be a slam dunk of election either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to appease a lot of Bernie Sanders voters if she picks Elizabeth Warren. And Hillary doesn't play up a lead. She doesn't think she's a hard worker. She's desperate for every vote. So I think that's who she's going to pick. Who should she pick?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've already made the case for Sherrod Brown, but who would I pick?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
That's who...
Who has the most experience in the country besides George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush?
Yeah.
Billy Bob Clinton.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, that is exactly who I was going to say she should pick.
It should be a Clinton ticket. Wouldn't that be great?
He's such a good campaigner.
Just as in person.
I was going to say, to speak from personal experience.
He flies on birds to campaign stuff. You don't have to pay the birds.
Speaks on back of trucks like it's the 1920s.
He is such a better speaker than she is. I'm sorry for my grammar. I'm so excited.
He's better than a lot of people because he just knows how to connect with people. And he's
the most talented politician alive today.
Yeah, he speaks normally, unlike other people who rely on buzzwords and well, what is whatever she is saying? Popular What's her phrases. Message?
That's the big problem. With I don't her. Even all know. She says is, "I'm a woman, and we could all do this together."
Yeah,
and that guy's a racist. Seriously, she doesn't say anything.
I haven't. Yeah, that's the one sad thing about this entire presidential election is no one knows what they're voting for. They just know what they're voting against.
Well, at least you know what Trump's for. It's a four-letter word. W-A-L-L. That spells wall.
He's building a wall.
He's going to build the wall, people.
Which makes me think maybe John Wall should be his VP, the professional basketball player, because it goes natural. Trump, wall. Trump,
wall. I think it should be Dikembe Mutombo, because he can reject
He's going to smack away.
He's going to reject those illegal immigrants. He's going to
smack away the illegal immigrants. No.
You overstayed your visa. You get back on that plane.
I would be very comfortable putting Dikembe Mutombo in charge of that.
So who do you think they will pick?
I think she is going to pick Elizabeth Warren.
I think so, too.
I think it's very obvious. It's the safest pick, right? It's a safe pick. I think she is worried about the alienated voters, the Bernie Sanders vote, that the endorsement doesn't give her.
Right.
Even though they like to pretend that it does. Because they're going to be miffed at Bernie, I think, for the endorsement.
And what everybody forgets is young people don't go out to vote.
Right.
They go out for the primaries sometimes. But look at California.
Right.
The polling was a lot closer than the result.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because young people don't go out to vote.
No, they'll go to a campaign rally. They'll go to an event, but they don't go out to vote.
They'll get high, but they won't go to vote.
Yeah, they'll get in line for their marijuana card.
Right. I mean, that was the story with Brexit.
Yeah.
Not to shift topics.
But
17 million people didn't vote. And the difference in that election was 3 or 4 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of younger people wanted to stay.
Right.
So don't complain if you don't vote.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. Now,
dare we get into the fact that, I'm telling you, since we're not going to be getting a podcast for a while.
Well, I could speak hours upon this subject.
The fact that it's looking like their new PM.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Is going to just walk in and take it.
Right. Right. It's not James May. He was on Top Gear.
Right.
I forget what her name is. She's been the Home Secretary since Cameron took over, which is basically the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
She handles the immigration, so that's why the idea is she'll be good, even though she was a Remainer, to be as the next Prime Minister. Now, I think what happened was the other lady, woman, who was running, said something about how she was a better candidate because she was a mother and a grandmother. And things are thrown out of proportion, and you can't say that you're a better Prime Minister candidate because you're a mother and the other lady's not. And so that's why she dropped out
because of that.
There's a weird dynamic in British politics when something damaging happens. You can either defend it or you can immediately resign and be immediately forgiven for it.
Wow. It's amazing how fluid British politics
because
is.
I don't understand why. The reason Cameron resigned, in my mind, is after the vote comes in and he's wanting to remain, even though he had campaigned 6 years ago saying, we might get out of this European Union and, we'll put it on the ballot and we'll probably be better off if we left. But when he chose to get it on the Remain campaign and they lost, he didn't want to clean up the mess.
Right. I don't think
he didn't want to be blamed for what's going to happen now.
Right. I don't think he would know how to handle it. And I think he did take it as
more than enough prepared to do it. All you have to do now is negotiate trade agreements with the individual countries.
Mm-hmm.
He's been prime minister. He's talked to all these countries for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
But I don't think he wanted the blame if anything goes wrong on this.
Okay.
And so that's why Boris Johnson was going to be an obvious pick.
Right.
Because he was a leave guy. He was the upfront guy.
Right.
But then everybody didn't like him.
Right. And
then Michael Gove stabbed him in the back.
Right, and so as I understand it, I believe it's the majority party who has the power to...
Yes, it's not a direct election of prime minister. It's whoever you vote for as a party.
Right.
They vote, they say, okay, if you vote for us as a party and you, me individually, this is going to be our prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knew if you voted for Conservative Party, David Cameron was going to be your prime minister.
Right.
Since Cameron is stepping down, the parties don't change. They didn't trigger a general election.
Right.
Although some people said
which
they
is
should.
What a lot of people want to do.
Yeah. That's
instead
true.
Of instead of the Theresa May just walking in and taking it.
Yeah.
A lot of angry tweeting of goodbye democracy.
It's not goodbye democracy.
It's just that's the way their system's set up. It's not goodbye democracy. It's this is what your system is.
Yeah, I mean. The difference between Theresa May, who worked for David Cameron, and David Cameron is not much.
Right.
I mean...
Even though she...
She is
initially was for the Brexit, and then... But officially her stance was against the Brexit, but she didn't campaign heavily...
Right.
...to stay.
Right.
And everything she's said going forward is, okay, the people have voted for Brexit... We're going to manage it and go forward. There isn't going to be a... We're not going to go back and try to do a revote.
Right. A second referendum.
Right.
So, the other story is the cat that stayed at the number 10...
Downing Street
gets to stay.
The cat gets to stay.
The cat gets to stay. And because I guess the cat has its own Twitter, that one of the first days the cat was on the official table... but the cat gets to stay. I forget what the name of the cat is.
I'm going to assume it's Mr. Whiskers.
It's a tabby cat.
It's a
good-looking cat. I will say that.
I did enough furious Googling trying to figure out what Theresa May's first name was. If we're going to vamp a little bit longer to find out the name of that cat.
The other interesting thing about these leadership elections is... the Labour Party has had a somewhat polarizing... He's almost a Bernie Sanders-like figure leading their party.
Oh, yeah.
And his name slips my mind.
This is something like... beginning of the season is like Clyburn.
Clyburn
sounds...
It can't be Clyburn.
Yeah.
They're having a leadership election as well.
Really?
Yeah. And...
So this is... This is totally changing... The casting of my favorite TV show, Prime Minister's Questions, because it was regularly David Cameron.
Jamie Corbyn. Yeah.
And they go back and forth. And now...
And did you see where Cameron said, for goodness sakes, resign? So, Jeremy Corbyn gets 5 questions or 6 questions every Prime Minister's Questions, because he's the leader of the opposition party, the largest party that's not in power.
Yeah.
And so David Cameron brilliantly saves his most harshest criticism for him on the answer to his 5th question because he doesn't get a 6th question to rebut it. So this, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Because Cameron says, I'm resigning.
Right.
My party said they don't want what I'm leading them to.
Yeah.
You need to resign too.
Wow.
For heaven's sakes, resign. And the other thing, that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week he said... because he was being criticized for basically not being as big a socialist as Jeremy Corbyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the only jobs that Labour has produced is making the backbenchers front benchers because all of his shadow government keeps resigning. All of his ministers keep resigning.
Wow.
And that's the only jobs that they have actually created.
That's pretty good.
But that was, again, on the 5th question. He knows what he's doing.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing I can always give David Cameron credit for, is I don't necessarily agree with his politics, but I can say the guy, when it came to Prime Minister's Questions, the guy always did his homework.
The sad thing, though, is I had a favorite to... I didn't really like Boris all that much, but I liked the Treasury Secretary, which is called the Exchequer Generals. George Osborne.
Okay.
And he had filled in a couple times for Cameron when he's out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think I have seen him. He is good.
He, unfortunately, like Cameron, thinks that solid blue ties go with black, solid black
black suits.
Black suits and vice versa.
Right.
And they don't.
They don't.
But maybe that's just a British thing that I don't know. But I was hoping he was going to get it because he seemed like he was the guy that was running the budget. He said, okay, we got this much and then we got to cut this much.
Right.
And then he'd say, okay, we got to do these priorities, people.
Yeah.
And these other people are more of the social, well, we got to keep these.
We got to fund this. We got to fund that. We got to fund this.
Yeah. So we'll see. But actually, the lady I really like, so for the Labour Party, and there's a lady that sometimes filled in for Jeremy Corbyn, Angela Eagle.
Yeah, she's
pretty smart.
She does a good job.
But listen to me. Before that, there was a lady, and she's still there, named Harriet Harman.
Hmm.
She's a very nice lady. Let me show you her picture.
Okay. Yep.
I've seen her in Prime Minister's Questions. She's very principled. She's before they had the election of Jeremy Corbyn, she filled in a couple weeks, did a great job, seemed very competent. I don't know why she's not running. Maybe she doesn't want the stress of it, but she seemed like a very good person.
Right. I think my guess is there are some folks who don't like to be in the big seat. They like to be on the side. Like, they like to be behind the scenes, in the thick of it, but they don't want to.
Did you just drop your
favorite? That was a complete accident. They like to be in the thick of it, but they don't want to be the face of the campaign, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Unlike Larry the Cat.
That's the name of the cat?
At 10 Downing Street, who is the face.
Isn't he adorable?
He is an adorable cat.
Folks, you need to Google Larry the Cat.
Larry the Cat. He's got my vote.
I like how they, in the article I read, it's beautiful. Yep. Beautiful guy. They defended him being there because he was very good at catching the rats.
He does hold the title of Chief Mouser to the Cabinet Office.
And then
the British are so adorable!
And then they have all this money to give away for all these fake titles.
All these titles, all these hats.
All these jobs. But they defend the cat being there because he's good at his job.
It's a meritocracy.
Why don't they have a pest control guy to keep the rats out? I mean, the rats just running.
It's saving
through?
Money. The amount, it's compared to the amount of money you would pay
you
a pest control
poison.
Guy to the amount of money you pay on cat food. Obviously.
I guess so. Good job, George Osborne.
Yep. The money just isn't there for an exterminator.
So it'll be interesting to see who's in. Both the Labour Party, leadership and who the cabinet secretary is. I don't know if things are going to change all that much on the conservative side.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I kind of feel bad for George Osborne. But anyway.
But I also thought it was interesting that that David Cameron resigned effective on a Wednesday, which is when Prime Minister's Questions are.
Oh, did you see his interview? He gave it the press conference. He said, okay, here's what's going to be. They had moving trucks out there today, and then he's going to do his final meetings in the morning, and then he's going to do his final Prime Minister's Questions, and then he's going straight to, where does the Queen reside? It's not a joke.
Westminster?
Yeah, Westminster Palace. And then he's going to offer his resignation. And Theresa May is going to come in later that day to fill in the role.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it's going to work.
Well, I'm definitely going to watch that final, David Cameron's final Prime Minister's Questions.
Yeah.
Because he's got nothing to lose.
He doesn't. And I don't know if he's resigning his seat because he's a member of Parliament.
Okay. Or if he's just... just like how Lion Ted is a senator.
Stop calling him that.
I'm just... I'm just saying.
The fuzzy-haired guy, the mayor of London.
Oh, Boris Johnson?
Yeah, he's a member of Parliament, too.
Yes.
So they have all these different jobs. I guess they don't pay well. But they have all these different jobs. So I don't know if he's resigning his seat.
Or just the Prime Ministership.
Or just the Prime Minister. Because Ed Miliband, who used to run the party Labour, still member of Parliament. So.
Right, and still the leader of the Ed Miller Band, which is what I think of every time I hear his name.
That guy was a grade-A doofus.
The name of their first album.
But anyway.
Now that I think we've discussed the politics of both sides of the pond.
I think we should end on that note. So, we will see you again in a while, but, you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Keep calm, keep a stiff upper lip.
And we'll see what happens. Stay safe.
Larry the Cat.